is going to be this morning. While you're turning there, I want to remind you that we have a number of Bible study plans or Bible study resources available for you. I hope you have a plan already for the year in this new year. I hope that you have a plan and that you're praying for God to give you guidance to help you read His Word each day. Obviously, we want to set attainable goals, so I'd encourage you not to say, well, I'm going to read the whole book of Genesis today. Maybe you can do that, but let's set attainable goals. The most important thing is that you're in God's Word each day, whether it's reading just a couple verses and meditating on them throughout the day or throughout the week, but being in God's Word throughout the day. But we have a number of resources available on the table there. We have Bibles available. I would just note those Bibles that are there, they're free. Feel free to take one if you need a copy of God's Word. They do have a little larger font in them as well. If it's for some of us, as I'm starting to have that a little bit in my life where I need a little bigger font, they have that available in there. But please have a Bible in your life throughout each day. And also bring a Bible with you to church. And so if you're coming to church, and obviously you can have it on your phone as well, tablets, that's fine as well. But we want to have God's Word ahead of us because we want to be reading it. We want to be meditating on it, not just reading it, closing our Bible, and then kind of forgetting. James talks about that. He says that's a foolish person. That's someone who looks into the mirror of God's Word and looks at it, and then closes it and just walks away and doesn't really impact their life. We want to meditate on His Word. And I hope that we are, I know, and I can make you a promise, and this isn't me, this is God. If everyone at Open Door Bible Church every day was reading, meditating, and by God's grace, applying it to our lives through His Holy Spirit, our church would just be so filled with joy and thankfulness to the Lord. And we would, doesn't mean that everything would be perfect, but it means that we would have a right heart and a right mind as we go through each day and as we encourage one another and bear one another's burdens and as we face trials together and heartaches together, we will have a foundation in our life that is rock solid and is growing stronger in our lives every day. And so it's more than just Pastor Sam each year saying, oh, read your Bible. Like the little kid's song, read your Bible, pray every day, you know, grow, grow, grow. But that's true. I hope that it's not just a trite thing you hear from me every year, but I hope that we have a plan every year. And it should be a plan that we love more and more to read God's Word. And then share it with others. And also worship together. As we gather together regularly, we share with one another and we worship. And we even use the Bible here at church. Psalm 119 is where we'll be this morning. I did forget to share one thing with you, one announcement. I want to thank those who have offered to help with the meal next week and getting that out. We could use one more volunteer to help with the meal if they'd be willing to help with that, and that would just be making sure food gets set out and everything during the morning service. But thank you to those who have already offered to help with that. If you're using the Pew Bible, Psalm 19 is a huge chapter, so don't get scared. We're not going to read through the whole chapter today. A lot of verses, but it's page 515 in the Pew Bible. In your bulletin, if you got a bulletin, there's a little handout that has some blanks on there that might be helpful for you as we look. We're going to do a little word study as we start into the text this morning. But I'm going to start this morning by reading Psalm 119, and I'd like to start actually in this section. If you're familiar with Psalm 119, we're going to start in 129, and I'm going to read from verse 129 down through verse 136. That's that section in there. There's a number of sections in this chapter. It's actually a psalm that's based on the Hebrew alphabet. And so you might see above verse 129 in your Bible, it might have the word P-E and maybe a little Hebrew letter. It's the word fe or fe. And this word was for the letter P. And so if you, in your Hebrew Bible, were looking, every single verse in this chapter begins with that letter. So it was a way to memorize God's Word. And so if you're going over the letter, well, we would think the letter P, it would be that. Now, in English, it doesn't look that way because it's a different language. But it was a way to learn and memorize God's Word. There's a lot in this psalm. Almost every verse in this long psalm talks about God's Word or His law, His commandments, His statutes, and a lot of different ways. And so you'll see that theme as we start. We're going to focus on verse 130, but I'm going to start in verse 129 and read down through verse 136. Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. I open my mouth and pant because I long for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me, as is your way with those who love your name. Keep steady my steps according to your promise, and let no iniquity get dominion over me. Redeem me from man's oppression, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law. Have you felt that? As you look at the world around us, or maybe even in your own family, you see family members or loved ones or neighbors or coworkers who just do not love God's word, and we see so much sorrow in their life because they won't trust and obey God's word. Here, the psalmist, this is David, he says, my eyes shed streams of tears because people do not keep your law. He may have even, more than likely, been looking at the people of Israel, and people who said, well, I want to love God, but they didn't obey his word. Let's have a word of prayer as we come to God's word, that God would help us to love his word and to keep it, and then we'll look into verse 130. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word to us today. We thank you, Lord, that your word is true from beginning to end. And I pray that as we look at your word, that you would encourage us, you would challenge us to hide God's word in our hearts, to love you above all else, to treasure your word and to understand it correctly by your grace so that we will know how we ought to live and to think and to be your light in a very dark world. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Please help us. As we go through this passage this morning, may your Holy Spirit guide our thoughts and our hearts. May we have lives and desires in our hearts that want to honor you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This morning we want to consider the light that we all need. In Psalm 119, verse 30, it says, the unfolding, or maybe in your translation it might say the entrance, but the unfolding of your words gives light. We live in a very dark world. Yesterday at men's Bible study, we were in Revelation chapter 12. We were looking at promised words from God that talked about future events that would happen after the church is called out of this world and when Satan is beginning and allowed to have this great tribulation on earth. And there's actually an excerpt, if you want to get a copy of it, it's on the table, but there's a commentary we've been using as a resource, I've been using as a resource, and this little section's entitled, What Our Victory Will Look Like. In the passage we looked at yesterday, it talked about those who overcame, who did not give in to the wiles of the devil, but they overcame, even if that meant they would give their lives for Christ, become martyrs for Christ. They overcame and they were victorious. And there is a song that is sung in heaven about those who overcame the evil one. I'd like to read. It's a little longer paragraph, but I want to read that as we start, as introduction this morning. And there's a section in there that I think it's very pertinent to our lives today in 2026. When we read, and I'm quoting from Dr. Fanning, who wrote this commentary. When we read about followers of Jesus who overcome or become victorious over Satan and the future days of the final tribulation, it is important to grasp what it means to overcome and what the battle itself will look like as we face Satan's opposition in our times. In other texts in Revelation, we discover, as expected, that sometimes such attacks come in the form of overt persecution, including social ostracism, personal slander, economic discrimination, physical assault or imprisonment, and even death. These are times of great difficulty and danger for Christians. But perhaps unexpectedly, Satan's opposition also manifests in times of peace and prosperity, in the form of false teachings, or temptations that lull us into complacency and easy conformity to the sinful practices of the world. These are possibly even more challenging and threatening. But this should be no surprise, since Satan is the great deceiver and accuser, whose wiles include masquerade and duplicity as much as overt violence. But no matter what form this conflict takes into our situations, we are called to faithful endurance, even if it means costly suffering and martyrdom. For us to be victorious or prevail in this struggle means resisting evil and falsehood in our lives and in our churches, staying faithful to God by not conforming to this world's values or worshiping false gods. This is the sense in which Christ's followers are said to overcome Satan. But such a victory will be gained by virtue of what Christ has already accomplished and by enduring faith in him, not by human attainment. End quote. I thought this was helpful, especially in the part of making sure that we are resisting evil and falsehood in our own lives and in our churches. Sadly, there are many bodies of people meeting today in America and around the world who would call themselves Christians, but they don't follow Christ as the Bible calls them to follow him. I hope that will never be said of Open Door Bible Church that we stopped following the Bible, but rather that we just keep growing, and we keep learning more about Christ, and we keep refining our faith in Christ so that we will be a light to our community here in Middletown and around the world. This morning, as I said, we're going to consider the light that we all need. In verse 130, again, we see that there's this word or this person, this group of people known as the simple. You look again at verse 130, it says, "The unfolding of your word gives light." We'll talk about that word unfolding in a moment. But what does this unfolding of God's word do? Well, it imparts understanding to the simple. We see this word or this person or this group of people who are called the simple throughout the Psalms and the Proverbs especially. Now, this might be a little different to us because we don't always use that word simple, but we do know the word simpleton. Remember that? That's an old word. Or someone who's foolish, or someone who's just very gullible. They have a simple mind. They don't think through it all, and they do find themselves getting in trouble. Maybe they're the people who are easily swayed by scams or easily swayed because they just are willing to believe whatever they hear right away without having discernment or prudence. Prudence is a word we hear a lot anymore. Sometimes we hear the word, don't be a prude. Remember that? And that was a negative thing. Well, you're too conservative, or you're too, you know, strict here. But the word prudence is a very good word because it means having the ability to understand how decisions will affect and the consequences that will come. So I wanted to, if indeed, as it says here, that the unfolding, the opening, the clear understanding of God's words will impart understanding to the simple, what does that word mean? So very quickly, we're going to do, we're going to look at some passages. If you would turn, we're in Psalms. Go back to Psalm 19, verse 7. And we're just going to quickly go through these because I know that the focus is we want to get through the rest of this verse. But this is, as we do this study, I think we'll see that all of us, apart from God's word, are simple. We need God's understanding. In Psalm 19, verse 7, I put some blanks there if you would like, because we went to this word study. What does that mean? What does that mean, the simple? Because in Scripture, it's always a negative thing, for the most part. It's not good to be a simple person when it comes to the word of God. So Psalm 19, verse 7, I got to get there myself. It says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." This word here, the simple, carries someone, and the word that's used here carries the idea of someone who is foolish and who needs wisdom. So very quickly, you could, if you were writing in that blank, or here we see a description, a simple person is one who is immature and needs wisdom. And that's what God's word provides for us. It gives us the wisdom that we do not have apart from God's word. So a simple person is one who is immature. This doesn't necessarily talk about age, though we tend to think that. It talks about someone whose understanding of God's word is immature and they need wisdom. Turn over to Psalm 116. Okay, we're going to do a little Bible flipping here, close to 119, but Psalm 116, verse 6. We see here that in verse 6 of Psalm 116, it says, "The Lord preserves," or the idea of protects, he preserves and guards the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Here we see that the simple ones that the Lord chooses to preserve or to protect the simple. And that's mercy. That's grace. God in his grace has chosen to preserve. Here, if this is David writing or the psalmist, he says, there was a time in my life when I was brought very low because of my simple mind, but God saved me. He spared me from what could have gone very wrong. If you're here this morning and you're alive, it's only by God's mercy and grace. And he's preserved us because we are all simple-minded people. Now let's turn over to Proverbs. That's the next book. And there's a lot in here. And we might have to skip some here. I'll leave some blanks maybe for you perhaps to look at on your own if you want to continue the study. But we'll just hit a couple of them. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. And in Proverbs chapter 1, wisdom is personified as almost like a woman calling out, "Would you let me take my wisdom? Don't reject me." And in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 4, we see that Solomon is writing to King David, and he's given a reason why he's writing this book. And we're going to jump right in the middle. In verse 4, he says, here's the reason why these Proverbs are given: to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. There is a word that also is, doesn't mean a foolish person, but just someone who's young, naive, immature is more the way. The word simple, translated in English, simple, also can carry the idea of being immature. And here we see, look down at verse 22 again. It says, "How long, O simple ones, will you love being simple? How long will scoffers delight in their scoffing, and fools hate knowledge?" Look down at verse 32. "For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them." If, I don't know if you can fit this all in this blank, but the simple one, in light of here, we see some more information about the simple. These are those who are open-minded in a naive or gullible way. They're easily swayed by what they hear, and they are in peril of destruction without wisdom. This whole psalm is wisdom calling out, don't reject God's wisdom. Because if you do, verse 32, the simple are killed by turning away. So there's a part here too where a simple person who says, I want to stay simple, I want to stay naive, they hear God's word, but they turn away from it. And they're destroyed. We need to keep moving. Look, if you would, at Proverbs chapter 8. We'll just look at a couple here. We'll skip down to Proverbs chapter 8, verse 5. I think we're starting to get the theme here, but I want us to impress upon us that this is not just us to look at other people and say, well, that's that person. That's all of us, apart from knowing and understanding God's word. Proverbs 8, verse 5 says, "O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense." Here we see that the simple one are those who are in need of prudence. Like I mentioned before, prudence is just one way you could define prudence as someone who is careful about one's choices, who stops and thinks before acting. Children aren't always prudent, are they? And we kind of understand that because along with youth comes a lack of knowledge about all of life. And that's why they need godly parents and good friends to point them in the right direction. I have a lot of fun memories. I remember, well, not they weren't fun at the moment. I laugh about them now. I remember one time when I was, I was probably about 10 years old, and I thought I'd try to impress the neighbor girl next door who was not at all impressed with anything I did. I think she was like 16, 17. She saw me as this little 9, 10-year-old. And I thought I'd try to impress her. We lived in a cul-de-sac in California, and we were up at the top of a hill. There wasn't a whole lot you could do because you had to stay in the cul-de-sac because it was such a big hill going down. And we played baseball, and if you hit the ball and went downhill, just say goodbye. Pick it up next week because it would go way down the hill. So we always stayed in the cul-de-sac. So I'm riding my bike, my Huffy bike, and I'm just trying to show off. And she's probably just, not even watching. And I thought, I'm wearing shorts. I'm going to lean back and just look. I can lean back. And I just zipped my leg right inside along the tire and just tore it right open. And then, of course, I'm like, I think I'm going to walk inside, and I'm like limping back in. That was stupid. It was not prudent. And you know what? I never did it again. Not that I tried to show off, but I didn't do that again. prudence sometimes comes in the area of correction, doesn't it? But what is the most perfect correcting gift that God has given us to help us be prudent? His word. We see true accounts of people who went their own way and were destroyed, or people who repented of their sin and turned to God and they were blessed. We see God's truth calling us over and over again to love his word. God's word helps us who are simple be prudent. Look at one more, Proverbs 21, and then we need to move on. But Proverbs 21, verse 11. This kind of goes a little bit with what we just talked about. But Proverbs 21, verse 11, it says, when a scoffer, now a scoffer is someone who scoffs, but they just mock God's word. They don't care what God says. But when a scoffer is punished, the simple becomes wise. Maybe you know someone who was messing around in their youth and thought they were so cool. The next thing, they ended up in jail. All of a sudden, it gets very real. Or maybe worse, maybe they got killed because of their foolish driving or something or whatever they were doing. And all of a sudden, those who were simple and naive, they observe that and they realize, okay, I don't want to do that. Well, if you look at verse 11, it says, when a wise man is instructed, he gains knowledge. The simple become wise when they see scoffers punished. And God's word is true. He will punish sin. And God's word shows us over and over again that we should not be simple. But here we see a simple one, or a simple person, is one who needs wisdom in real life situations. And I'm so thankful that God's word gives us the wisdom we need through his spirit in real life situations. So we all, that was the point of the study, we all need this light. As we look at Psalm 119, coming back to Psalm 119, verse 130, I just want to look at three thoughts, three truths about this verse, and then some implications, and then we will be finished for our day together. The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. I want to look first at the unfolding of your words. We see, first of all, that God's word must be carefully and accurately unfolded to us. When it says the unfolding, or perhaps it might say the entrance of your word, I like the idea of unfolding. How many of you had a Christmas present to unwrap this Christmas? I hope everyone got some gift. That gets harder as you get older, but did anyone get a gift that you didn't know what was inside? Sarah and the boys are very careful and kind to get me some gifts that I didn't know about. You know how it is as parents. Sometimes you tend to know. Maybe you're by yourself, you get yourself a gift, or whatever you get one year, I wonder what's in here. Remember growing up, my mom had a policy after a while because little fingers sometimes, she put the presents under the tree a couple days out because she didn't want to wrap everything on Christmas Eve like they used to do in the day. And so sometimes, you know, as little kids, you'd kind of try to peek in there on the little corner. And accidentally, I don't think any of us really meant to, but all of a sudden, oh, and then you saw what was in there, and you're like, oh, and you kind of like close it back up, and you're trying. That happened enough times, my mom said, if you see what's in there ahead of time, you're not going to get it. That was probably the cleanest tree you've ever seen after that. But you didn't know it was in there. Now, she'd let us shake it, and you think, oh, maybe these are Legos. Maybe it's something, but you really didn't know. And then you'd start unfolding that wrapping paper. And after you opened it, and sometimes you'd find out right away, zoop, oh, this is what it is. Sometimes you'd have to keep it all, and you'd unfold, and we really wouldn't unfold, would we? We'd just like tear into it. But as you took that wrapping off, you saw the gift. What David is writing here is when God's word is opened up to us, and the beautiful truths about God and about his grace and about the truth of his word is opened up, because before we, when we come into this world, we don't know God's word. And there's many people who maybe have read the Bible all their life, but they've truly never come to understand it. They've never truly come to know God in a relationship with him. But when that happens, when the word is unfolded and we understand what it means, it says it gives light like a lantern in a very dark room. I don't think any of us, well, it says we love darkness. We love darkness rather than light, but there's many times where we don't like the darkness. The power goes out. The power went out a couple times in Royalton the last couple months because of squirrels. They kept saying it was squirrels. Then it happened to another squirrel. We said, we need to get these squirrels out of town. That's going to be impossible. But whatever they were doing, they were tripping stuff and everything, and I don't think the squirrels made it, you know, but I don't think they intended to, but they kept doing it, and then the power would be out. And so, you know, your heat might not be on, and if it happened in the middle of the night, what's going on? And then you're like, oh, I need some light. You get your phone, and you hope your phone's charged, you know, but that little light that emanates, oh, it's helpful, isn't it? We come into this world in darkness, simple, headed to destruction, but God's word, when it's open, gives light. But God's word, it needs to be carefully and accurately unfolded to us. And that is what the Holy Spirit does. As he opens our hearts and minds, as we read his word, there are many people, sadly, who just look at God's word, they read a verse and they close it and they walk away and they think they understand it, and without carefully and making sure they are accurately understanding the word of God. There are many false teachers. There are many people who want to lead us astray. There are many people who want to twist and say, no, you don't have to read that section. That doesn't matter to you, but read this section. No, we need to have faithful, godly teachers. That's why I'm so thankful for the godly men and women who help teach the word here in Sunday school classes and in the preaching and teaching ministries. But God in his spirit is the ultimate one. He's the one who unfolds his word and reveals it to us. We need God's word so that we can honestly, clearly, and accurately know God. God's word is so important, and we should treasure his word above all, because this is what gives us light. When Jesus said, I am the light of the world, he is the word of God in the flesh. But God's written word also opens his word to us. As we go through Psalm 119, 130, we also see it says, the unfolding of your words gives light. God's word gives us the light that we all need. And you might be saying, Pastor Sam, I've heard this so often. I mean, it's kind of almost like a duh statement, but it's so important. We need the true light. Not the fake, artificial light of the world. Though Satan will try to mirror God's word many times. He will try to even take words of God and twist them so we don't understand them. And we'll have this artificial light, and at some point in our lives, it will lead us or let us down. We want the true light. And God's word gives us the light that we all need. Because we are all, apart from God's grace and mercy and his word, we are all simpletons. We are all lacking wisdom, lacking prudence, lacking discernment where it matters most. But the good news is, this is what God's word gives us. You ever gone through a time in your life, maybe you had moments like this last year, maybe you're still feeling like this right now, where life is just kind of like in a haze or a daze right now because of so many things going on. So many important decisions that have to be made, and some of them have to be made like tomorrow or next week, and you're just like, oh, I need some direction. Oh, how am I going to handle this? Or maybe you just are in a dark spot with challenges where people are rejecting you. People are giving you bad advice, and you're I just need God's light to shine. Perhaps you need to get back more to the word. See, why am I struggling? Why am I finding myself yielding to sin more and more? Why am I giving into this anger, this lust, why do I not even have a desire right now to read the... It could be that at some point in our lives, we got too busy. We let the cares of this life become too important, rather than letting God's word be that thing that we treasure above all. Could I encourage you? Don't get discouraged. Be encouraged by going to the light. Going to the word of God. You might say, oh, Pastor Sam, I don't understand it. That's okay. Keep reading. And keep availing yourself of all the resources that are even available to you here. That's why we have Bible studies. That's why we have Sunday school. We dig in more deeper into the word than we can at times, sometimes in a Sunday morning sermon. We have interaction. Meet with one another. Start a Bible study with your fellow brothers or sisters in Christ. Be in the word. If you'd like some other possible encouragements outside of that, if you're doing that, for more resources, I'd love to share some that God's using in my life as well, some good books, but there's nothing that will replace the book, the Bible. Just going to encourage you, if you're not reading the Bible each day, I'm so thankful we have Days of Praise, we have other resources out there, but don't let anything replace this. And then after you're in the Word, yes, get some of those other resources perhaps if you'd like, but always go to the Word when you read those resources to make sure that they're in line with God's Word. But we need His light. Thirdly, as we look at this Psalm 130, and this is just one verse, but we see that it says, "The unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple." We've talked about the simple as well, but thirdly, we must treasure God's Word because God's Word gives us wise understanding when we hear and heed what it unfolds. I mean, the wise understanding is there, but it's only going to really help us when we actually read it or hear it and heed it. That's why we are called, as James says, be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Jesus said, those who are truly His children are those who hear His words and obey them. God's Word gives us wise understanding when we hear it and heed what it unfolds. And that is so rich. I have enjoyed, and I have to say I haven't always enjoyed, because I enjoy reading God's Word, but there's times where I'm like, what? I'm doing something wrong. Then what do I do with it? I don't want to. Let's go to John 3:16, something more. I'm worried. No, this is saying, Samuel, you have a problem and that needs to change. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry, help me change? Or am I going to ignore it? That's what the scoffer does. May we not be scoffers. May we rather be worshipers of God. And when He, in His mercy and His grace, points out things that need to be more like Jesus, may we run to Him and obey Him. Could I encourage us with this thought this morning? May we treasure God's Word and correctly understand its truths. It's one thing to say, well, I love God's Word and I treasure it. Well, how do you know? How do we know if we really are treasuring and loving God's Word? Well, do you understand it correctly? And sadly, many in America today do not, because you know how you know that? Because they're not living out what it says. They have a half knowledge or a false knowledge. My prayer for Open Door Bible Church is that we will be a church that treasures God's Word and correctly understands its truths. And we see that in the way that we love God and love others according to His Word correctly. It's one thing to treasure God's Word with our heart, soul, and mind, but it's another thing, or it's part with it, we also need to correctly understand its truths. But they both go hand in hand. If we will correctly understand God's truth by faith, then we will treasure His Word. And if we treasure God's Word above all, then we will grow. So be encouraged. We will mature each day in correctly and accurately understanding His Word as it is unfolded to us. But you know what you need to do each day? The unfolding is the work of God, but it also involves us doing this. Opening it up. Or maybe it involves you on your phone, opening that Bible app, whatever it is, and taking the time to read it. So what are the implications for our life today? I didn't put any on there, but I would just say this. I don't really have a big application. I think the application is pretty straightforward. What are the implications for your life? Well, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you have a relationship with Him? Have you been saved through faith in Jesus Christ? If we do not have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling us, then we are not saved. And that's one of the beautiful gifts of salvation. God's Spirit indwells us. Romans 8:9 says, if we don't have the Spirit, we're not His. But if we do, then we can correctly understand God's Word. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, oh, we're almost out of time. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. We could. But there's a verse here that many times is quoted, but it's not quoted correctly. I've done it. So if you do this as well, don't feel bad. But it's because we don't read the whole passage. In this section, Paul is basically saying, when I came to Corinth, I did not preach falsehood to you. I didn't come to you with the wisdom of the world and the flowery language of the world. I just presented the good news of Jesus as it is in Scripture. Because he didn't want their faith to rest in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Look, if you would, at verse, we'll start in verse 6. Remember, immature is simple. Mature would be someone who is wise in the Scriptures. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed for the ages of for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But, and here's the verse 9, as it is written, what no eye hath seen, nor ear have heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. I think in the King James, I memorize this, eye has not seen, ear have not heard, all the things that God has prepared for him. And we stop there, and we say, oh, one day we'll get to heaven. This is not talking about heaven. This is talking about someone who's immature, who cannot understand the word of God, who cannot understand what God has prepared for those who love him. But look at verse 10. These things God has revealed to us through who? Through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Verse 12 is beautiful. Now, he's speaking to Christians. We have received not the spirit of the world, but the capital S, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths, which is God's word, to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept. The natural here is someone who's not saved, who is simple, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned. You have to have the Holy Spirit to help you understand it. Verse 15, the spiritual person judges all things, but himself is to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ? What's Paul saying here? He's encouraging these Corinthians who has troubles in their life, who were not living for God. He says, hey, if you're a Christian, you've got Spirit indwelling you, and you can understand the word of God. So get in the word, Corinthian believers, Paul's going to say. Obey the word. He's not saying, oh, there's mysteries that one day we'll find out in heaven. There are those, but that's not what he's saying here. He's saying, you have the Spirit of God. You know everything you need to know through his word to live for God, to be his light. So can I encourage us? May we treasure God's word, if you're a Christian, and correctly understand his truths. There's no excuse for us to not correctly understand God's word, because he's given us his Spirit and he's given us his word. If we are saved, we have his Spirit to guide and teach us. May we not be standing before the Lord one day ashamed, as Paul says in 2 Timothy 2:15. He says, study to show yourself, or be very diligent to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing, rightly, correctly understanding and applying the word of truth. God will help us do that. I'm excited for this year. But the only success that we'll have this year in God's eyes will be tied to how well we treasure and understand and live out his words. May we do that together for the glory of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for our spiritual life. May we treasure God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your kindness and grace to us. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we've had to look in your word today, the opportunity that we've had to sing hymns together, to praise you, to be able to rejoice in your goodness to us. Father, help us to never get caught up in just ritual worship. Father, may we get caught up in scriptural, biblical, spirit-led worship. We thank you, Lord, that you are the solid rock. May our hope rest in you and not in the wisdom of men. Please guide us through your word this year. Help us at Open Door Bible Church to be protected from the evil one. And when the evil one attacks, help us to know through your word with the sword of the Spirit to be able to fend off all the attacks of the evil one. I pray that for every person who is connected with Open Door Bible Church. I pray for those who are hearing and listening to this message that you will help us to treasure your word above all, and to understand it and obey it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.